we weren't able to connect before the service, and I wanted him to read a little bit more of the section that we have. It comes out of Ephesians chapter 4. And if you turn there, I'm going to start reading at verse 1. It's the last of our series on oxano, at least the term, growing up, the process that I was trying to lead us through to make us understand what Scripture, what God says, and how He uses the Word in growth and growing. And from this particular section in chapter 4, Ephesians chapter 4, I'm going to start reading if you would join me here. As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle, patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each of us, grace has been given, as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he led captives in his train and gave gifts to men. What does he ascended mean except that he also descended into the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of God. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by waves, blown here and there by every wind of teaching and cunning and craftiness of men, who have in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things, oxano, grow up into him, who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body joined and held together by every supporting ligament grows, oxano again, and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Children, come on down. Good morning. What did you guys bring today?
Bible.
You got a Bible? Good, good. Did you bring anything else?
Nope.
What did you bring to give to us? A what? A snack. Oh, good. You got a snack for me? Oh, good. I think I'll come sit back by you. Yeah. So did you bring something for us today? Got a Bible. Yeah, but that's your Bible, right? I'm glad you brought that, though. That's a good answer. So, would you be upset if I didn't bring anything today? Yeah. Yeah. Do you know that what you bring is just as important as what I bring? That each one of us, when we come to be together to be the church, we bring something. Can any of you tell me something that happened in your week, this last week, where God was working in your life? Can you tell me something that you read in the Bible or that you heard in a devotion in your house where you learned something about God this week? Anyone? Well, then I have nothing to give you today either. You're reading 2 Kings. Thank you. What'd you read?
About Naaman.
Ah, you learned a lot about Naaman? Can you think of anything? He what?
Was a great commander.
Okay, very good. And what did he have to do? What disease did he have?
Leprosy.
In the Jordan. Well done. You know why I'm going to give you a treat today? Because he brought something. And he shared it with all of us. Well, my sermon is about bringing something, because you have to understand that you can't really go to church. You are the church. You come together, and each one of us should bring something. First thing we learned today is we should all bring our Bible if we have one. And second thing I hope you learned today is I asked, have you been reading it? Or if you're too little to read, you don't know how to read yet, then you can ask your mom to read you a story. Okay? Or you can ask mom and dad, could we have a devotion so that the next Sunday you can bring something to church? Can you remember that? Good. I got something for you today. Here you go. There you go. There you go. You're welcome. That different? There you go, honey. There you go. Whoop. There you go. I guess it sticks together. Maybe you get them both. There you go. There, take it, hon. That's right. There you go. Yes? No? Go ahead. You're welcome. So how would you define us? Dependent on ourselves or desperate for the Holy Spirit? I was listening to a person share, and he challenged us with that question as you're listening to the person talk, and I thought, so one of the biggest problems in churches today is the question of, does the Holy Spirit show up? He said, we've gotten so good at keeping the church the right temperature, making the chairs the right cush, getting a good speaker in terms of a video or a presentation, having just the right music be played, and everything else. And we hire enough professionals that after a while, whether the Holy Spirit shows up or not, we wouldn't know. Because in one sense, we really don't need Him. We've got everything in place. We have this ability, trusting in our plan, trusting in our organizational skill, trusting in the way we've got this whole thing put together. We believe we've got it worked out so that the right person will be talking, the right group will be singing, the right events will take place, and you'll be comfortable because the chairs have been fully tested to make sure your butt doesn't get too tired and the service doesn't go quite too long. And he asked this question. He asked the question, a church. Have the churches become dependent on themselves or desperate for a spirit? And the challenge was presented because this ability to develop a sense of things happening, of sense of all kinds of stuff going on, where you still miss the power and the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't know when you are forced to or brought to a point where you have to fully rely on the Spirit. But there are times in my life when I don't have an answer, when I don't know the next step to take, when I don't understand what to do or a situation. And at those points, I'm going to use the word, I was desperate for the Spirit. I needed desperately something from the Lord. I had been emptied out. I had been hurt or beaten down or wounded or whatever the situation was in my life and circumstances, or there were so many things happening outside my ability to control them, so many things that were external as well as in some cases internal that I just could not bring under control. I just couldn't get them or my heart or my mind or attitude, anything to line up. And so when I picture that question, being confronted by this question, are you desperate for the Lord? Excuse me, are you desperate for the Spirit? I realize that in many cases, you get busy with all the other regular things. If I work hard enough on a presentation in class, do I really care if the Holy Spirit shows up? If I think a sermon through enough and I practice it or think it through or do the research or whatever you want to say, do I really necessarily need the Holy Spirit to show up? Now, I know the answer to that question is yes. I know it spiritually. I know it emotionally and personally. But in one sense, you can get yourself so busy, you can get yourself carrying out and moving forward that in one sense, you're moving, you're leading, you're functioning, but whether or not the Spirit shows up becomes irrelevant. Now, in the challenge of chapter 4 that ends with these phrases, as we come down near the end with the phrases of oxano, I want you to notice something about this growth. When I ask the kids what they brought, it's that continuous reminder that Lamb of God is not Bruce Harmon. Lamb of God is not the four walls. The walls can be knocked down tomorrow, burn away tomorrow. Lamb of God has not been touched. We've lost a building. You understand? If the pastor kicks off tonight, it's still Lamb of God. It's still the church in this place. It is not me. It is not to be focused on me, nor is it going to be built from me. Because anytime that happens, you're sliding into this kind of nature which where you become dependent upon or you're resting upon. Oh, that was, if you set it all up. And this pastor was really being challenging himself to ask the question, why isn't it that people in Scripture were not dependent on themselves? Or when they became dependent on themselves, God immediately confronted them. He said, what are you doing? Do you think you can build the church? Do you think you have what it takes to make someone or bring someone to faith? We were talking in Bible study this morning and we're hitting that section on Romans that speaks about no one is righteous, not even one. No one seeks after God. No one pursues the things of God. Everything is God's pursuit of me. Everything that is going to have long-standing eternal effect and meaning is going to be when I'm desperate for the presence of the Spirit to accomplish what the Spirit wants to accomplish. And he reached back and he was grabbing hold of these examples like in the book of Acts where they were in prayer and the Holy Spirit descends on them. Or when they were in prayer because Peter and John had been thrown in prison and the gates of the prison are opened up and these men are brought out. But they understood something. They recognized that it was not going to be the power of their organizational skill that was going to accomplish the will of God. It was going to be that humility, that brokenness, that utter dependence, that desperation in the right kind of ways, that desperation for the Holy Spirit to be ruling, the Holy Spirit to be leading, the Holy Spirit to be about the business of what the church is to be about. Because otherwise, we fill it up with all of the things and the opinions that go together when you bring 100, 200, 500, 1,000, whatever many people together in a building. And so in your opinion, how was the worship this morning? In your opinion, what was the sermon like? In your opinion, and you begin to go, the question is, did the Spirit show up? The question is, did you know the Spirit showed up? Did you recognize that Christ was running His church? Did you sense and know that the people coming together were not relying upon themselves, not relying on the things that they have, but relying fully on the presence of God and the work of God's Spirit in their lives? Because that's how the challenge begins to be presenting itself. And so we come to this section near the end of this long unity of the body section, and it speaks about it. It says, we'll no longer be infants tossed back and forth by waves and blown here and there. It uses the analogy of a little boat in a big ocean where you, I don't know what I feel today, and I'm not sure what my opinion is, and that wasn't, that kind of flavor back and forth. And it says, by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. This pastor said, we figured it out. You get a really charismatic speaker, you get a really good song leader, and behind them a really, professional sounding band, and then you put it together in a church building that makes everybody comfortable, and then you apply a little bit of professional searching. So you go out and find the right teacher and in person, and then they'll come. And he said, they'll come, but he asked the question, I'm not sure the Holy Spirit's there. And what he was doing was self-analysis of his own situation, his own fellowship, his own church, recognizing that as a leader, he himself was not desperate for the work of the Holy Spirit. And what he was challenging the listener to, as we were listening to it, is asking the question, do you have a sense that we can cunningly, meaning that we can preconceive, you can buy the right booklet, you can say how to set up a church, you can go online and just type in the question and Google it, and you'll have 43 or 143 different sites that will tell you how to make this church grow and so and so and so and so. And then he presents the problem and he says, however, there is no indication that the Spirit will be there, even though you'll have all the other things in place. And so what he says, it says, instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into Him who is the head, that is Christ. Now, one of the things that a church has to understand, and I've taught it to you before, the pastor is not the head of the church. The elders are not the head of the church. There is one source of life for a church that has it figured out and doing it right. It's certainly not the pastor. And it's not the elders, it's when each member draws their life from Christ and brings, this is why I asked the kids about it, and brings to the fellowship that which they have been given through the head by the power of God in the Spirit to bring to the body. If you get that inclination in your head that somehow you're not professional enough or somehow you have to operate at some level or standard, God's going to begin speaking to you saying, I have something to bring through you. Remember about two Sundays or three Sundays ago when I had the kids line up and pray, and people said that was outstanding to hear what those kids had the insight and the willingness to pray about, to recognize that whole process of recognizing they actually brought something. And we heard today, I brought my Bible. And what did you learn this week? I read in Kings a story of Naaman. And you begin to understand. He brought that. That's a part of who he is as he comes back here today. I gave him the opportunity. And the challenge for you is, what did you have? What have you brought from the Lord? In what way has the Spirit ministered in you and with you and through you? What do you really have to say that can be brought here into the fellowship to bless the man or woman sitting in front of you, behind you, or next to you? What have you decided God is speaking to your heart? How have you decided to manifest that as the church gets together? The analogy, of course, is the human body. The human body has this connection with the head, and each part contributes. This hand contributes to picking up a piece of food, putting it into the mouth so my mouth can chew it, which contributes then eventually to swallowing, the digestion and the whole process, and all of the nutrients go to the muscles through the veins and the arteries, etc., etc. And we have this analogy of how each part does its work and the body then thrives. If one part quits, your liver shuts down, your mouth doesn't work, you have to overcompensate, or suddenly the body is put in unbelievable duress and stress because of the absence of whatever you're supposed to be bringing. Not to mention the fact that when the church is functioning properly, those are the things that start to happen. So here's what he says again, one more time. It says, grow up in him who is the head, that is Christ. Then 16, and from him, notice the grow up in him, all right, grow up into Christ, and then my source of power, direction, meaning, and purpose is from him, okay, the whole body, that's us, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows, that word oxano, it's a noun now, it grows and builds itself up. Notice the phrasing again. You understand? As you draw from the Spirit, I drew certain things from the Spirit this week because I needed God in a certain way. I had situations in my life which you may or may not be able to relate to. I had a problem child and little things. And so I have to go, Lord, you're going to have to calm me down because this kid's putting pressure on me right now. Now, that may or may not relate to, but the question is not whether my particular presentation is everything that you need, but whether or not the church is bringing to the fellowship, whether it means the us, the we here, are bringing to the fellowship the things that we need to bring. And those become then the challenges that we have to begin understanding. So it says here very clearly, okay? From him, the whole body joined and held together by every supporting ligament grows and builds itself up, and it does it in love as each part contributes, does its work, carries out its task. In one sense, you have to do the study, you have to do the research, you have to ask the Lord, what's my task today? What is it you want me to bring? What is it I have? What is it I can change? What is it I can present? What is it I can give to the fellowship? Whether a young man who says, I read the Bible, here's what I read in Kings, I'm going to say the story of Naaman, and at that point becomes a portion of the blessing of the church. Whether you're a little child and you're asked to pray, and they're praying sincerely for the things that are going on even in the bigness of our world. And you're going, oh my goodness, these kids are not little children. They're young men and women. Sometimes their brains and their hearts are big enough to understand the challenges that lie before the people of God and the needs of people around the world that need to be responded to and dealt with and carried out. And so that becomes part of that process. And so what we're learning now is that the word oxonal, growth, doesn't come externally. It comes when you are attached singularly to the source of all life, all salvation, all work, which is Christ himself, okay? So the process that you and I are forced to deal with at that point, is that challenge which asks the question, are you attached to Christ? Have you been attached to him this week? In your connection with Christ, what has he been speaking to your heart? Someone younger than you or I was able to say, Naaman, he was a general. He had a dip in the Jordan. He had to do this thing that was almost repulsive to him, but he did it. You understand? The Spirit of God working through the Word by a young man connected with God and in the Word connected with God had something to bring. Even in that instantaneous moment when I said, what did you bring today? And in that moment, he presented the challenge. He presented, in one sense, the whole sermon. I will be the sermon for you. Now, he didn't intend to do that when he or his mom or whoever that all worked out when they decided to read or however that story and everything came about. But in the middle of it, they brought to the church, the fellowship, the very thing that we need to be both encouraged by and in some cases challenged by. Because the moment you and I become disconnected from the head, the moment we start to rely on a different head, I'm disconnecting from God, Christ, the Word, and I'm going to attach to pastor, I'm going to attach to these people or this situation or this idea, or I turn church into the job that I carry out, you begin to understand how the church begins to literally dry up because it's refused or lost its connection with the head. And so here's Paul working very diligently with the Ephesians, trying to help them to understand how it's going to grow. It's going to grow when you're attached to Christ and you're bringing as part of who you are, and you don't have to go, well, I can't talk like pastor or I can't pray like so-and-so. Those are so absolutely irrelevant because the very person of who you are is God has chosen to bring you in the church. If God has chosen to bring you in the church, it speaks about that he has given gifts. He has brought you in so that whatever your handicap, whatever your limitation, whatever hindrance to life and circumstances you happen to be struggling with, whatever it is you have, when you bring that into the fellowship and you come with that openness to give and to be used by God, you have people to speak to. You have someone and some way to minister. And so you begin to recognize God's trying to get us to grapple with us. Attached to the head, who is Christ, then it says we are going to be joined, intertwined. And you have to understand, a muscle in my finger works because it's attached to a certain bone. All right? A muscle in my arm works not because it's attached to the same finger muscle bone. It's attached to a different bone in a different part of my body. And as the body begins to, by ligaments and joints, move and function, it says that's the way the church works. And so I reap the benefit from what my right arm can do, but I also reap benefit from what my left arm does. If you've ever had to go to the eye doctor and he says, all right, cover one of your eyes, and you're going, I can't quite see it, and you begin to understand the benefit of both eyes compared to one eye sometimes. If you begin to recognize that you have maybe a good ear and a bad ear as you get older, you notice that. And you turn your head a little bit one way or the other, you start to recognize those characteristics. And I'm going, you have to realize. That's why when the challenge comes and the question is, are you dependent upon yourself or are you desperate for the Holy Spirit? Did you come to church dependent upon whether the music satisfied you? Did you come to church dependent upon whether the preacher satisfied you? Or did you come to church to give? Did you come to the church to be a part of it? To recognize that the pastor, the music, the setting, all that stuff is not church. We're the church, and we have to be interacting with each other. Otherwise, you come in, you sit down, you talk to only few people, or you don't talk to anyone, right? Or you sit with your family, and you don't talk to anyone but the people in your row. And pretty soon, you're up, you're in, you're out, and you're gone. And the question is, have you been a part of the church or not? Have you brought something? And that's the intimacy, because here the point is ultimately, as each part grows in the Lord and builds itself up in love, as each part does its work. The oxano challenge is not whether we're smart enough to figure it all out as we're going through all the work we're doing there. The oxano challenge is whether or not a church can come together and trusting in the work of the Holy Spirit, relying fully upon their connection with Christ, begin to bring together in an orderly way all those things that God has presented here through the uniqueness of who you are and the uniqueness of your family and in this fellowship. And so the challenge of oxano is that it isn't just growing the verb, it's growing up as God wants us to grow. And that's what this pastor was coming to. He was going, one of the things I was challenged by, one of the things I finally got to a point of recognizing is my church had to start recognizing when the Holy Spirit was moving. They had to start seeking after the Holy Spirit. They had to long, and he uses the word, be desperate for the presence of God in such a way that each of them saw themselves as being a vital part. The same way, go ahead. We're going to hit you in the arm. You're going to lose your right arm today. And just find out how different your week goes, how different your life is, how different your circumstances are. That's how much a church body is affected when you cease to bring what God's giving you to the fellowship. Or worse, when the fellowship doesn't take the time to bring about a situation where you're able to bring that stuff or present that stuff or whatever God is trying to accomplish. So in this process of growing, two things in oxano. One is growing up being attached to Christ. The section is growing as God has directed us to grow, bringing what God has given us to the fellowship. And so as he does that, that's his invitation. That's his command. And so it says, builds itself up in love as each part does its work. And so Paul is bringing all of these conditions, all of these qualities. Live a life worthy. Understand what you've got and begin to understand. If I walked down with the microphone right now and I said, what did you bring today? Would you have a Naaman story? That's what God's inviting us to do and be for each other. Pray with me if you would. Father, your word challenges in such a beautiful way. You're not challenging us to intimidate us. You're challenging us to bring the gift of who we are in you and through your Spirit into the life of somebody else. You're speaking to our hearts right now, Lord, telling us that we are unlike anyone else in the fellowship. That when you speak to our hearts and when you speak by the power of your Spirit into our lives, there are people, circumstances, and situations that can change because of the moment that we attach to you became useful in your fellowship, Lord. You remind us like the quiet things the body does, almost unnoticed. The cleansing of blood, the processing of food, and all the other things, Lord. That each part has to play, and each part has to contribute, or the body can never be healthy. So I'm asking, Lord, that you would just set us free. Set us free in love of your word. Set us free to rediscover how to attach to you. Set us free, not with the fear that the pastor's going to come down and ask us a question, but set us free, Lord, so that we can be tools in your hand, vessels of grace and mercy in your hand, blessings in your hand to the people around us. Help us discover the oxano, the growing and the growth, Lord, that you want us to know and experience. And I pray that for us as a fellowship. I pray for that for us as individuals, Lord. And I pray that because that's your call of mercy and grace in our lives. In your name, Jesus. Amen.